Mindy Larson-Polberg, and I'm the Director of Government Relations for Iowa Corn Growers Association, and I first want to thank you all for your interest in this project. And I'd like to start off by saying this is called the Corn Caucus Project, and we are absolutely rating only on corn and agriculture-related issues. We are going to be providing letter grades for all of the candidates on 10 agricultural-related issues and no other issues. But as far as, is this just a farmer project or something that farmers should care about, I would bring your attention to a 2009 study from the Iowa State University Extension that talks about that Iowa, in Iowa, 17% of the state's workforce is either directly or indirectly related to agriculture. That's 1 in 6 jobs in the state of Iowa, or $72.1 billion, and that was, the study was completed in 2009, so it's a little bit, you know, we need to update those numbers a smidge, but that's the most recent information from Iowa State that we have. The reason I bring this up is sometimes we have a tendency to look at corn or agriculture issues as specific only to farmers, and I think that there's a lot broader audience, and it affects Iowa's economy tremendously. So what is this project? This project is a tool that the corn growers are providing to our members and to the public of evaluating corn-based issues only, and we are not providing any endorsement of any candidate for any presidential candidate. We're simply evaluating each and every candidate on their agriculture issues. The history of this project, this is the second time, the second presidential election where we have provided a report card. We did a similar evaluation for candidates in the last presidential election. And I would also point out to you that this is a National Corn Growers Association project that is implemented by the Iowa Corn Growers Association. It will be a national issue. We will distribute it to corn growers across the nation. And we also had assistance in sponsorship for this project from the Corn Growers Associations in Minnesota, Nebraska, Illinois, and Kentucky, as well as, of course, the Iowa Corn Growers Association. So with that overview information, I'll pass on to Amanda Taylor to talk more about specifics.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. My name is Amanda Taylor. I'm Senior Policy Advisor for Iowa Corn. I want to talk about the goals that we set out when we started this project. There were two of them. The first was to encourage growers to participate in campaigns of their choice. We wanted to align growers with campaigns, so it created an atmosphere where we could share corn policy positions with their staffs and the candidates even themselves. We wanted to be a resource for the campaigns when they had questions about agriculture or energy policy so that they could work those into the energy or agriculture plans that they lay out. We also wanted to help growers if they wanted to take leadership roles in a campaign or volunteer with a candidate so they could get lined up with the right staff to do so. We wanted to help encourage growers to actually get out and caucus on January 3rd. And talk about the issues that are important to them during platform discussions. That piece of the project is obviously still ongoing and will continue over the next month right up until the 3rd. The second goal of the project, and that's what we're here to talk about today, was the development of a tool that growers could take with them to the caucuses in January. As Mindy said, our purpose wasn't to endorse any candidate, but it's instead to give them farmers and other people in agriculture a tool that they could take with them to the caucuses in January. We wanted to give farmers an idea where the presidential candidates stood on issues that could frankly affect their day-to-day operations, and that's the idea where this report card came from. We started this process back in the summer by working with both National Corn Growers and the Iowa Corn Grower Leadership to identify the top issues that are facing our industry. We developed a 10-question survey that all the candidates were asked to complete. The issues included in that survey covered energy and ethanol, farm programs such as the Farm Bill and crop insurance, free trade agreements and other trade support programs, EPA regulations, and support for water infrastructure on our locks and dams. With that overview, I'm going to turn it to our president, Kevin Ross, to tell you a little bit more specifically about the process in scoring the candidates and then talk about the candidate grades.
Morning, everybody. As Amanda said, I'm Kevin Ross. Know many of you on the call here. Appreciate you being here this morning. About the process, or a little bit about it, not all the candidates returned the surveys that we had sent to them. That was expected, but at the same time, we compiled a whole lot of other information, background on each of the candidates and their history, on their ag policies in general. We tracked interviews, speeches, media quotes, and all things from, you know, relating to agriculture from other reputable sources. Looked at official voting records, including voting history for candidates who have held office. Listened to the candidates that spoke at our annual meeting in August. There's a few of them there. And between that tracking document and the return surveys, we thought we had a pretty comprehensive package of information to deliberate and decide this grading system for each candidate on. It was a bipartisan committee of the growers and the staff that went through the scorecard one grade at a time until the entire committee was able to reach consensus on a grade for each one of these candidates. And now I'll give you the overall grades of the eight major candidates in the race currently. The overall grade is an average of the individual grades given for the 10 topic areas. And I want to stress again, this is not an endorsement, but it is a report card, and it's a tool to use for the farmers and for anybody actually who is concerned about agriculture and where these candidates stand on their policies. So we'll start out with the current President Barack Obama, and his overall grade was a B on this Corn Caucus project. Michelle Bachmann had a D+. Herman Cain had a D. Newt Gingrich had an A. Ron Paul had a D. Rick Perry had a C-. Mitt Romney had a B. And Rick Santorum had an A-. If there's any questions or clarification on that, go ahead and ask. I want to make sure everybody got the correct grades written down.
This is Mindy Larson-Pulberg again. I would also add that the press release Mindy Williamson put out at 9:30, so if you're near your computer, you should be able to pull up the entire report card, which includes the letter grades that Kevin Ross has just stated, which is the overall, but also includes each of the 10 individual letter grades on the topics that each candidate received. And with that, are there any questions?
Sure, Mindy. This is Gene Lute from Iowa Farmer Today. I'm just pulling up the release with the different grades. Wonder if you could just kind of go through a couple of them as far as what specific things you were looking at. For example, you have ethanol and energy policy generally. What things besides ethanol were we looking at there?
Right. So the question that was asked on that was in regards to a holistic energy policy. Do the candidates, how do they feel about energy generally, and how does ethanol specifically fit into that equation? Do they believe that corn-based ethanol is a part of a holistic energy plan for the United States?
Are there other questions?
This is Dan Piller at the Register. Did you measure, on energy, did you measure the candidates' policies on renewables against their policies on fossil fuels and, you know, basically weighing the differences between, the most simple analogy would be the assistance or subsidies mandates for ethanol versus the tax policies for fossil fuel oil and natural gas, for instance?
Dan, this is Amanda. Yes, we absolutely did. We encompassed that in the first question, the ethanol and energy policy generally question. I think everyone also should have a copy of the actual survey question that was asked. These summaries on the scorecard are obviously abbreviated for space purposes.
Right, and in the press release, you should be able to click on the, I think it's about a 75-page document that where we worked on media tracking. that we also used for objective information. If we couldn't find something to point to, it was not used as an evaluation of this tool. But Dan, to get to your question again, absolutely. This might come as a surprise to some, but Iowa Corn Growers Association also supports all domestic forms of energy. We're an industry that needs fuel, and so we also need domestic sources of energy in addition to corn-based ethanol, and we believe that there ought to be an all-of-the-above energy approach. But what we have concerns with is when candidates may support one form of energy to the exclusion of corn-based ethanol.
Okay.
Right. And also, if you have access to the our website, it's www.iowacorn.org/corncaucus, and then you can see the entire document too.
Right.
The survey questions that were asked.
This is Lynn Campbell with Iowa Politics. First of all, I didn't get the press release for some reason, so I don't know if you could maybe resend it to me.
Sure.
Okay. Could you tell us, and this might be in the press release, which I didn't get, but which candidates returned the survey and which ones didn't?
We received return surveys from President Obama, Rick Santorum, Herman Cain, and Newt Gingrich.
Okay. Thank you.
We had other contact with all of the campaigns. We corresponded by mail with all of the campaigns, by email with all the campaigns. Several of the candidates came to our ICGA annual meeting and spoke directly to us in August of this year. So we've had a good experience in working with all the campaigns and contacting them to make sure that they had every opportunity to participate in this process.
Okay. Given the focus of this campaign on the economy and jobs, and then also on a different note, on social issues, how much impact do you think that your report card will have?
I believe that the report card will have tremendous impact. Essentially, in rural Iowa, certainly, because people absolutely recognize the fact that that agriculture is important to our economy as a whole. But I think that, again, as I started out talking about this, Iowa's economy as a whole is ag and ag-related business is 17% of our state's workforce in our economy. And so we hope that all Iowans will care about agricultural policy and the grades that the candidates have received. And we would encourage Iowans to keep agriculture in mind in the future.
Yeah, as a grower, as a farmer, this report card is really, in my opinion, kind of an invaluable tool because whoever is elected in this position is extremely in a huge position to affect what I do every day. And their policies are extremely important to me and, you know, what's going to happen to my future and my kids' future and things down the road. So, again, you know, I'm going to also say, again, it's not an endorsement, but this is this is something that I think that, you know, everybody in agriculture should look at and you know, not only farmers but agribusiness and consumers in Iowa because ag is such a huge part. In my opinion, this thing should be used and looked at pretty seriously.
And lastly, I would add that in the national media, if you're looking at media tracking, agriculture issues are not often the top-line issues for the campaigns and may not make the headlines. And so we think it's important to be able to provide a tool where in one place a farmer can evaluate only based on ag policy. And we're not suggesting to our members or farmers how they should vote at all. We're just suggesting that if they're interested in these agricultural issues, that it's important that they have a tool to be able to make their decisions.
Are there other questions?
I guess for Kevin, from the farmer perspective, you've been working on this for some months. Were there any surprises? I mean, some of these people are pretty well-known names. Were there any surprises as you started actually looking at the positions and listening to their speeches?
You know, to be honest with you, there were not as many any huge surprises. But from if you track them and a lot of what they've said in the past where their voting history and things like that. It was actually fairly consistent, I would say, as to what the surveys came back with us, or the ones who did return that, and where their previous voting record had been, and different things along those lines. From the farmer's standpoint, you would like to see higher grades on everybody, especially on some of these very low grades. That to me is a little bit shocking. I suppose that's where, if anything, was a surprise to see a few of them as low as they were. And I think that that certainly is an issue when you talk about candidates that are considered a front runner at one point. If their ag policy is that poor, then we have a problem. And that's what I think our job as farmers and people in agriculture is to educate them and get them to at least learn about ag policy and where they can improve to help rural Iowa and all consumers of ag products in general.
I guess a follow-up there, usually what groups tend to do in the campaign is both find out where candidates are and hopefully talk to them and influence their positions. Have you seen any of those positions evolve as you've talked to them through the campaign?
Certainly seen a few of those change, and that's part of the process of this whole project is getting our growers and farmers out there to pay attention to this campaign and maybe help out with certain, with a campaign they particularly like. That's a lot of the key of this is to again influence some of the ag policy that's going to be created down the road and hopefully get people to become more educated on what's actually happening here. So the ones that I think we've had closer contact with, those campaigns have certainly been very responsive as to working with us and helping out with formulation of good ag policy going forward.
Kevin, if you had to somewhat summarize what really differentiated, say, Gingrich and Santorum, the ones who got A's from, say, Bachman and Paul, those who got D's, what would be the main thing that you said would differentiate the high scores from the low scores?
Well, if you look at the report card, there's a lot. A couple of those, and Keynes, for instance, he returned the survey and was, extremely negative towards ag policy, and in that particular case, a guy such as him who does not have a voting record previously either. I mean, you're taking that for a lot of a lot of your survey or a lot of this process, and quite honestly, that's how. That's how a guy ends up with low scores, especially when he responds to the survey, and that's exactly what he says. So that became a huge differentiation. I'll command those.
Lynn, this is more of a generalized statement, but for the most part, the candidates scored fairly well in the areas of trade, EPA, and transportation, where the scores usually significantly differed sort of between the general overall higher A-minus scores, and the D scores was in the energy sections and the Farm Bill program sections.
Okay.
And if I could, this is Mindy. If I could point out, too, on farm programs, I want to be clear to everyone on the call, we did not ask anyone about support for direct payments. It's not a part of our system. What we asked questions about specifically were the Federal Crop Insurance Program, which is a public-private partnership where the farmer chooses to purchase crop insurance. That is our highest priority as Iowa Corn Growers Association in the Farm Bill discussion. And the second item that we asked about related to the Farm Bill is also not about direct payments. It's about a revenue program. We support a revenue-based program similar to ACRE
of last time around that, again, provides benefit to the taxpayer and to the Iowa farmer, and only provides payment in those years of deep need. And also, the third question we asked about farm programs, it was about conservation programs and the support for conservation programs on working lands, which, again, tends to be those programs where it's a 50-50 type partnership, where a farmer invests half of the money in a buffer strip or a terracing program, and the federal government provides cost share or grants for working land programs that improve our environment for the consumers and taxpayers, as well as benefit the farmers. So none of these questions we asked in regards to the farm bill were about direct subsidies or direct payments. They were specifically crop insurance, a revenue program within the farm bill, similar to ACRE, and working lands programs with conservation.
Why weren't questions asked directly about direct subsidies or payments? Isn't that important to some of the farmers?
We're implementing Iowa Corn Growers Policy and National Corn Growers Policy, and we are not advocating for that in this farm bill. Our highest priority for funding at the federal level for farm bill related programs is crop insurance, again, which is a public-private partnership. That's the most important thing that is to our farmers in Iowa and nationally. And then, again, our highest priority going forward in the farm bill, we are not asking for direct payments. What we are asking for is a revenue program, again, based on revenues, and it's kind of an insurance-based model, again, that only pays in years when the farmers need it, that would be similar to the ACRE program that has been in effect since the last farm bill.
On conservation, did you ask if the conservation compliance be tied to any payments, any programs? Was that a part of any question that was asked?
We did not ask that question of the candidates, but Iowa Corn Growers and National Corn, we do have policy that would oppose changing that program. Conservation compliance absolutely should be tied to a Title I program, which in this case would be the revenue program that we're talking about. That's what our policy would provide for continuing this current program, tying conservation compliance with the revenue program or the Title I program.
With the revenue program. Okay, another question is, this is a little broader question, do you think, for the purpose of the entire Iowa caucuses, there's so much campaigning done in Iowa, are you, I guess maybe this is for Kevin, are you satisfied with the amount of actual discussion of farm and energy programs that happens, has happened in this last cycle? Because there was mentioned earlier that agriculture programs aren't discussed that much sometimes in political impact. Are the caucuses doing what they're supposed to do, and that is giving a good airing of agriculture issues for the people of Iowa?
Yeah, I think from an overall standpoint, I'd have to say that they do a fairly good job of that. But always, Dan, I'd like to see more ag issues brought up and spoke about at every forum that these candidates are at. That's not always the case, especially when this has gone on in the fall. You got a lot of farmers that are real busy working, but at the same time, it's certainly a highlight, and that's one of the best things about having this project here in the state of Iowa is that ag is going to get brought up at almost every forum that they are at, and that is again, like to see it everywhere, but it does do a good job of highlighting it.
Do you think, Kevin, do you think Iowa missed a chance when the super committee decided to fold up and not write a farm bill right now while the pressure is highest? If they wait into next year, well, this will be past the caucuses, and then Iowa's clout, whatever it is, supposedly diminishes. Did you see this as a lost opportunity, or were you bothered much by that?
It certainly was a lost opportunity, to get something done and not have the pressure of writing these farm bills later. Next year, you know, next year's political climate, it'll definitely be different, and you know, could be a lot bigger issue to get good ag policy through, especially with the, you know, the House Tea Party on the floor. So you know, we'll see what happens there, but it was a missed opportunity. Anytime you have it, you know, a situation like that where there's going to be major influence coming out of, you know, out of a certain sector or a certain committee, and nothing gets done, you know, it's always a missed opportunity.
One last question here from me. Do farm programs mean as much to farmers now as they might have 25, 30, 50 years ago, with the, you know, the larger, the bigger farm incomes we have now, with energy policy perhaps being more important? Is it quite as, not to say it's not important, but is it quite as crucial to the state as it would have been, say, in the 80s or 70s or the 60s?
Yeah, I think Dan, that's an interesting question, first of all, because programs, you know, each different farmer uses a program differently, and I wouldn't say that there's any less benefit now in any way. We certainly have different things affecting farmers now than we did before. So you have a mix of policies that affect farmers as opposed to just a farm bill now. Now you also have energy policy, which is a huge effect to farmers, and that's why we spend a lot of time on that also. The direct farm bill with the conservation and crop insurance things in there, and risk management tools is also extremely important to farmers, and I'd stress that especially the risk management side of that is very, very important. So when you say just a farm bill, and is it important to farmers or as important today, you know, if you talk about specific parts of that, for each individual farmer, a specific part of that may mean way more than it ever did before than just the old farm bill and the programs that were within that. So interesting question. I do appreciate that one, because I think farmers today are as reliant or more on public policy, but in a different manner than before. It's not a direct payment that a guy is looking at. It's a policy type situation about, like I said, about an energy or about a risk management system that we use and things like that. So,
Kevin, this is David Cruz of the Comstock Report. I see there's no specific reference in the trade questions to China. You know, and the China bill has been you know, a big issue in Congress, and I think that we would probably agree that it is of major significance to U.S. agriculture. And I note that at least my impression is that in the case of Mitt Romney, you know, he's been very aggressive, as far as, you know, some things that could be seen as protectionist relative to China. But he gets a B overall, I would think that maybe his opinion on the China bill and such could affect his grade. I guess, can you reflect on that, why there wasn't any specific reference to China trade policy?
You know, there's 10 questions on this thing, and we certainly would have loved to have 25 or 30 questions on this thing, and I just about guarantee you that something would have been in there about, you know, about Chinese policy and trade policies if we could have included that many. But, you know, we did our best to have a comprehensive, you know, 10 questions that would cover the things that are most important to us at the moment. And that's really, you know, why something like that is specifically, or is not necessarily specifically left out, but is still weighed in on with the whole trade policy aspect of their grade.
This is Amanda. I'll just also add, we had to give the candidates a pretty good chunk of time to fill the survey out, and so we had to assess what our highest priorities in trade were earlier in the summer, and at that time it was passage of the free trade agreements, and we've had long-standing support and long-time policy on support for the foreign market development and MAP market access programs at USDA. And so if we were writing the survey today, it would probably look a little different in trade since the free trade agreements have passed and were signed by the president. So really, this is a reflection of our priorities at the beginning of the summer.
And then, David, this is Mindy. I would just add again that this is just a tool that we want our farmers to use, and we're not suggesting how they vote on it. But and we would encourage our farmers, absolutely, to seek out additional ag policy positions, especially, you know, absolutely, China is going to be a big force and a big factor. But again, just because of our process and when we established our survey almost 3 months ago, because we had to give our campaigns, the presidential campaigns, enough time to fill it out and turn it around and work on this process. So,
understood. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have other questions?
Yeah, this is Dan Piller. One last question. There's Kevin, I know that you're a livestock raiser. Did you make an effort in this to try to differentiate the differences of opinion that there might be on energy policy between corn growers and livestock producers? This is what probably has got Governor Perry in the most trouble. I haven't seen how the questions were phrased and everything. Corn growers may have one position. A livestock association in another state might have another position as well. Were you able to finesse that at all?
Yeah, and that's certainly true, Dan, there, that those positions may be a little bit differing in certain instances. But, no, there was not an effort made specifically to differentiate, those two things. We did try to address, somewhat of animal agriculture, especially in the EPA regulations and oversight area. That's a lot of issues within animal agriculture and some of the things that they're dealing with. But other than that, that was probably the area that was most affected by animal ag.
In relation to the livestock industry as well, conservation programs, our conservation program question included EQIP funding, and EQIP funding is used a lot by Iowa livestock farmers for their structures, as well as the CREP program, the continuous CRP program, is used by livestock producers as well. And so that would be an important issue to livestock producers. And then I would also like to point out it is maybe a common misconception that there is a great divide between livestock producers and corn growers, because here in the state of Iowa, those are mostly the same people. Our livestock producers in Iowa also grow corn, and so these policies are important to livestock producers also, because they are the same people that grow the corn. And secondly, because of the continued and widespread use of the distiller's grain, the co-product that comes out of ethanol, you have a lot of livestock producers, cattlemen, pork producers in particular, that utilize the product that comes from the ethanol plant as well. So we have a lot of support amongst farmers generally for corn-based ethanol, and we think that they'll want to know the positions of the candidates on that topic.
That's one of the things. We're seeing profitability in all the sectors of agriculture, including, each of the animal ag sectors also. And because of that, the trade is also a huge thing that was on this questionnaire that would certainly contribute to the animal agriculture question and are addressing that with these candidates. So it was addressed in other manners, I would say.
Okay, I think I'm going to wrap things up here. You guys are always free to send me an email. You can also talk to Kevin if you think of other questions that you have down the road. We had a couple of people added to the call, so if you weren't on first thing, if you want to let me know. I added David Cruz, but I think we had a couple others that joined us on the call as well. So, all right. Please give me an email. You can call our office. If you're tweeting, you can use hashtag Corn Caucus. You can follow Mindy on Corn Politics, and you can follow me at Iowa_corn. So thanks so much, and have a great day.